Me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Isaiah chapter 22. Isaiah chapter 22, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. The burden of the valley of vision. What aileth thee now that thou art wholly gone up to the housetops, thou that art full of stirs, a tumultuous city, a joyous city? Thy slain men are not slain with the sword, nor dead in battle. All thy rulers are fled together. They are bound by the archers. All that are found in thee are bound together, which have fled from far. Therefore, said I, look away from me. I will weep bitterly. Labor not to comfort me, because of the spoiling of the daughter of my people. For it is a day of trouble, and of treading down, and of perplexity by the Lord God of hosts in the valley of vision, breaking down the walls, and of crying to the mountains. And Elam bare the quiver with the chariots of men and horsemen, and Kir uncovereth the shield. And it shall come to pass that thy choicest valleys shall be full of chariots, and the horsemen shall set themselves in array at the gate. And he discovered the covering of Judah, and thou didst look in that day to the armor of the house of the forest. Ye have seen also the breaches of the city of David, that they are many, and ye gathered together the waters of the lower pool. And ye have numbered the houses of Jerusalem, and the houses that ye have broken down to fortify the wall. Ye made also a ditch between the two walls for the water of the old pool, but ye have not looked unto the maker thereof, neither had respect unto him that fashioned it long ago. And in that day did the Lord God of hosts call to weeping and to mourning and to baldness and to girding with sackcloth. And behold, joy and gladness, slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating flesh and drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. And it was revealed in mine ears by the Lord of hosts, surely this iniquity shall not be purged from you till ye die, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord God of hosts, go, get thee unto this treasurer, even unto Shebna, which is over the house, and say, what hast thou here, and whom hast thou here, that thou hast hewed thee out a sepulchre here, as he that heweth him out a sepulchre on high, and that graveth an habitation for himself in a rock? Behold, the Lord will carry thee away with a mighty captivity, and will surely cover thee. He will surely violently turn and toss thee like a ball into a large country. There shalt thou die, and there the chariots of thy glory shall be the shame of thy Lord's house. And I will drive thee from thy station, and from thy state shall he pull thee down. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and he will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle. And I will commit thy government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. And they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the issue, all vessels of small quantity, from the vessels of cups even to all the vessels of flagons. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall the nail that is fastened in the sure place be removed, and be cut down, and fall, and the burden that was upon it shall be cut off, for the Lord hath spoken it. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Chapter is divided, I think, into either three or four parts. You can take the last part with Shebna and Eliakim and divide that into two, if you like. So that would be the third and the fourth parts. The first part is the burden of the valley of vision. And what is the valley of vision? What is it? It is nothing other than Judah and Jerusalem. That's the valley of vision. The Valley of Vision is used prophetically by some futurists today to speak of, you know, a yet future battle and stuff like that. Here, the Valley of Vision is the destruction that is going to come upon Jerusalem and Judah when Nebuchadnezzar comes and tears down the city. That's the Valley of Vision. That's the fall of Jerusalem under Nebuchadnezzar. There is the fall is prophesied. The reason for that fall is prophesied. The rapaciousness and self-serving of their leaders is also identified in Shebna, and then another leader is named by name Eliakim, who is indeed a type of Christ. He has set up that type of Christ. It's what we call a blind type. We don't know that it's a type until we hear Revelation chapter 3 verse 7, where it says that the keys of David are given to Christ. It says that they're given to Eliakim here, but notice that they're given to Eliakim here in a temporary fashion. They're given permanently to Christ. So let's explain that, and then we'll be done. Okay, so in the first portion then, notice that there is death prophesied, but notice not by sword nor dead in battle. You know why, right? It was because of the siege. They were dead because they were starved out. They were not really killed out in battle. This is a prophecy of Isaiah here with regard to the fall of Jerusalem. Okay? It's a tumultuous city, a joyous city, and yet it's a city that is readying itself to die. Thy rulers are fled together. They are bound by the archers. Notice, you remember what happened with Zedekiah? He was the one who took off out of the north part of the city by night, hoping to get away. Thy rulers are fled. You see how this works? Isaiah he's still speaking in general terms. It's not specific terms, but they are close enough so that we recognize it when we see it in 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, and at the end of the book of Jeremiah. We know what we're looking at because Isaiah has said it beforehand. Then the prophet, once again, as we have seen him do already, this great evangelical prophet, as he has been called, takes up a bitter lamentation for the city. He does not relish the destruction of his people. Therefore I said, look away from me, I will weep bitterly. Labor not to comfort me because of the spoiling of the daughter of my people. It is a day of trouble, treading down, perplexity by the Lord God of hosts in the Valley of Vision, breaking down walls, crying unto the mountains. Then we hear about Elam and Kir. Okay, so that's the men of the east. They're coming. Here they come. And thy choicest valleys shall be full of chariots. Now that might be taken as a blessing, but they're not their chariots. They're the chariots of their enemy. So their choicest valleys are filled up with the chariots of their enemies. This is how complete the destruction is. They take the best. Okay, now we change topics. In verse 8. We're already behind schedule because of the length of the first reading. But let me tell you what's going on here in 8 through 14. In 8 through 14, the people are making their stand. They're taking their stand against the enemy. They're building up their fortifications. They're saving water because they know that when the army comes, they'll stop up the river. So they're saving water. They're making pools. They're building up their fortifications. They're polishing all their shields. They're getting everything ready. You might think, well, that's a good thing, right? No, not in this day it's not. It's not a good thing because they're trusting in their armaments and not in the Lord their God. And this is exactly what the prophet says. Listen to what he says. And he discovered the covering of Judah, and thou didst look in that day to the armor of the house of the forest. You've also seen the breaches of the city of David. They are many. And you gathered together the waters of the lower pool. You're gathering up, storing up water. You numbered the houses of Jerusalem, and the houses have you broken down to fortify the wall. Okay, so building up the wall, taking down houses, using that building material. All right, what else? You made a ditch between the two walls for the water of the old pool. You took it out of the pool, put it there where it was protected, in between the two walls, the front And the outside and the inside wall that you have for your fortification. You stored up your water in there. But ye have not looked unto the maker thereof, neither had respect unto him that fashioned it long ago. And that's the point. They've not looked to the Lord. They've not called upon him. They've trusted rather in the armaments that they can build up. And the Bible is very clear. This principle is said over and over again. Those who trust in chariots, those who trust in horses will fall. Right? Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will trust in the name of our Lord God alone. All right, so then in 15 through 19, we have Shebna. Shebna, it would be the representative of the royal house. He is second in command to the king. He's the treasurer of it. He's got the key. He opens and shuts. He holds the purse strings. And what has he done with those purse strings? Well, he's had them build him up a sepulcher with the kings. He's misappropriated all that money for his own selfish interest. This is typical of the royals in that day, with a few notable exceptions. And so what have they done? They have taken the resources out from Judah, and they have feathered their own nest. They've advanced their own estate. Rather than being servants to the people, they've served themselves upon the people. And this is representative of all of it. And so the Lord says, you're cast out, and I'm going to give your authority, your position, to my man, Eliakim. Eliakim. And Eliakim is set forth here as what I said earlier, one of those silent types of Christ. The key of David is set upon his shoulder. And it is said that he will pursue that uprightly. Now, we understand that there is one coming from Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, where the key of David is given to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will never be taken away. Here, with Eliakim, it's set upon his shoulder, and the Lord calls him an upright leader, and yet, even him, he will be that nail in the sure place. He'll be that anchor of the people of God in that day. But eventually that anchor will be taken out. That nail will be taken down and the people will fall. And that's how the chapter ends. Because of the anger of the Lord of hosts against his people because they've not trusted in him. So Eliakim is a type of Christ, but like all types, he will give up to the true, to the antitype, to Jesus Christ, who will be, as we read elsewhere, the nail in the sure place that will never be taken away. Okay, so that's Isaiah chapter 22. Let's